Carolina Jackson, Chapter 1, Introduction. It was about 4 a.m. when I finally decided to get out of bed after laying awake and tossing for hours. I was too excited to sleep since in a few hours I was about to graduate from Stanford University with my master's degree in education and a bachelor's in mathematics. I also held a certificate in finance from Stanford as well. As I looked around my tiny apartment, I smiled because I knew that things were going to finally look up for me. 10 out of my 24 years of living was rough due to my parents dying in a car accident. I went to live with my aunt shortly after, and being my parents' only child, I inherited everything that they had. So why was my apartment so small, or why did I have it rough, you might wonder? That's easy. Relatives offer to take in an abandoned child so that they can have access to the funds. Let's just say that if it wasn't for my daddy putting a clause in his will for a certain amount to be put aside for my education, I would be homeless and hopeless. My Aunt Leslie and Uncle Henry never worked again, and they still lived in my parents' house, or should I say my house. They didn't tell me about the money and were stealing from my college fund when the main funds ran out. They had me scraping by while they lived lavishly. It wasn't for the lawyer insisting on speaking with me right before I graduated a few months back, I would have never learned about their scheme. We stopped the payments from going through them, but by then most of the money was gone. I only have $20,000 left, and I refused to use that to improve my living. That wouldn't be smart in my book, so I placed it in a money market account and forgot about it. I was grateful for my lawyer, but then I realized that he was just concerned because his paycheck was about to stop once my funds were gone. My aunt and uncle spent $1 million, not including how much they took from my $500,000 college fund. Now they're on Social Security and hoping that I don't sell my parents' house. I wasn't angry with them. They treated me like their own child, almost. I was just hurt and annoyed that they kept it from me. The rags that I war could have been better. The car that they bought me could have been better. And the job I've had since high school, I would have never needed if they were honest. They even had the nerve to buy their children, Henry Jr. and Lachey, better stuff with my money. I was teased in school because everyone called me Cinderella and my cousins never came to my rescue. When they went to college, they each got a nice 3-bedroom apartment, which they were about to lose now that the money is drying up. Maybe they should have spent more time learning then partying, because this is going to be their 5th year in college with no degree plan. We started school around the same time, but they're not graduating no time soon, even after 5 years. I guess karma's real. I showered and brushed my teeth. I fixed myself a nice breakfast for once. Before today, I would skip breakfast to manage my food. I think today, of all days, I deserve to splurge a little. I worked at Stanford Financial since I was 18. I started in the mailroom when Uncle Henry's friend told him that his company was hiring. I had just started college and had no idea what I was going to do for money. Uncle Henry told me, "I'm going to pay for your college fee and buy your books, but you're on your own for living." I thought it was the steal of a deal until I learned the truth. So when he mentioned that he could get me a job with his friend, I took it, thinking that I had no other choice. I was never late, and I always went above the job I was hired for. I took files to and from other employees, emptied their trash, got them coffee. I caught the eye of the owner, and he took me under his wing until I was promoted to financial advisor by the age of 20. Even though I moved up, I never stopped helping everyone and still kept up with my workload. I can honestly say that my experience with my parents dying and my aunt and uncle taking me in taught me to be humble. For that, I'm truly grateful for them. I can't believe that after 6 years I was going to have to leave this position. My heart wasn't teaching. I was offered the opportunity to teach at a high school, teaching math right after my graduation. I slowly took up my outfit and got ready. By the time as I was done, it was after 8. I didn't want to sit around my apartment, so I called my best friend Amelia Hanks. Amelia and I were friends from day one. We did everything together, including graduating with the same degree. Only she was majoring in finance and not teaching. However, for the most part, we had the same classes. She was lucky enough to live with her grandmother, who owned a house near Stanford, and it helped her family out because they were about to pay someone to look after her grandmother. I had many meals at her house, and if it wasn't for them feeding me, I believe I would have starved. What? Hey, girl, are you up? I asked, knowing that she wasn't. Amelia was not a morning person, no matter the occasion. What time is it? She mumbled. A little after 8, I replied. Then no, I'm not up. Call me back in 2 hours, she said as she let out a long yawn. You'll be late if I do that. Aren't you excited? I asked cheerfully. Excited about what? It's just a piece of paper that says you can hire me now. Look, if you were emptying a colostomy bag and urinals most of the night, you would sleep also, Amelia snarled. Too much information, Amelia. I understand that you had a hard night, but this is a big day for us. Now we can make some real money, like we talked about, you know? I'm coming over there. Normally, I would respect your rest time, but not today. I'll see you in 45 minutes, I said before I hung up. She tried to say something, but I didn't bother to wait to hear what it was. I didn't put on my cap and gown, but I was completely dressed in a white mini dress with white pumps. I saved up all year to purchase my first expensive outfit. I threw some curls on my shoulder-length hair and put on some pink lipstick. I got my nails done for the first time, and I grabbed my white off-brand Gucci purse. I spent 5 minutes looking for my keys before I actually walked out of the door. Surprisingly, traffic wasn't bad, and I made it to Amelia's house in 20 minutes. I had a key to their house, since I knew the family so long, and I would help out from time to time. Amelia's grandmother, or Nana, which is what we called her, had a beautiful two-story country-style house with a wraparound porch. Though Nana was too old to go up the stairs, she would often talk about doing it. Amelia's grandmother had a dog named Peavy, even though he was a huge Dalmatian dog. Peavy was standing at the door waiting for someone to let him out. He raced past me as soon as I opened the door. At first, I was scared because he didn't have his leash on, but Peavy was trained enough to run in front of the yard and lower his butt in a peeing position. I guess he really needed to go. This was also the first time that he didn't greet me. I waited for Peavy to finish his business and then we both went inside. Nana was yelling, "Who was that?" from the moment I opened the door, so I went straight to her room. She moved from her master bedroom upstairs to the guest bedroom downstairs for safety. "Good morning, Nana. How are you?" I asked, cheerfully. "Oh, it's you, Carol," she said, never finishing my whole name, which was Carolina. "Did I scare you?" I asked. "No, I just wondered who it was at this hour. I heard the key turn, so I knew whoever it was, I didn't have to be alarmed. Have you seen that granddaughter of mine? I've been calling her for an hour now," Nana said in a frail voice. "No, not yet. I can help you. What you need?" I said, not wanting to tell her that Amelia was still asleep. "I'm hungry, child," Nana protested. "I got you. 2 sunny side up eggs, 2 strips of bacon, a spoonful of grits, 1 toast, a cup of tea, and fruit. Did I get that right?" I asked, knowing that I did. "You got it, my girl," Nana said, smiling. "Coming right up," I said before I left her. "Dear, can you let Peavy out?" Nana yelled. "Already did, Nana," I said, continuing to walk to the kitchen. It had been a while since I fixed Nana anything, but it was like riding a bike. I pulled her pans out and began to whip up her breakfast. Nana had the most beautiful old-style kitchen I'd ever seen. It had modern appliances, but it was open with the windows, and it had an aisle in the middle of it. It flowed into her breakfast nook, which was opposite her living room and guest bedroom. On the other side of downstairs, she had a formal dining room and living room. Once the bacon began cooking, I heard footsteps stumping down the hall and then down the stairs. Then I heard a loud boom as Amelia tumbled down the stairs. "Amelia, what's wrong with you? Are you okay?" I shouted. "Me? You scared the life out of me. I thought that Nana had made it into the kitchen like she sometimes do when I take too long to cook for her." I tripped on my sock and couldn't stop tumbling. my tumble. "What are you doing here?" Amelia asked with a confused face. "What do you mean? Did you hit your head? I told you that I was going to be here in 45 minutes, I replied. "No, I did not hit my head." "I told you not to come," Amelia said, rubbing her legs. "I didn't hear that. And why didn't you want me to come?" I asked. "Because I want to sleep. I'm exhausted," Amelia said, pouting and laying her head against the wall. "And what did you expect Nana to do?" I asked. "Wait, she does it sometimes when we have a hard night," Amelia said. "Well, she's not waiting, and neither did Pee-wee. He didn't even greet me this morning, where he had to pee so badly. Don't worry, since you're so tired, I'll take care of everyone. You go back to bed, and I'll get you up in an hour," I said, turning her around and pushing her towards the stairs. "Make that 2 hours, please," she said as she started to walk slowly. "An hour and a half, that's it. I'm not going to be late, and neither are you," I shouted as she made it up the stairs. "Yes, true, Sergeant," she replied sarcastically. Shortly after Amelia went back to bed, I finished Nana's breakfast and placed it on a bed tray. I had her fancy teacup on a saucer, her eggs neatly near the bacon grits and toast, along with a bowl of mixed fruit. I placed a napkin under her fork, spoon, and knife. I walked the food into her room, and Nana was smiling from ear to ear. "What was that noise a minute ago?" Nana asked. Amelia tumbled down the stairs when she smelled the food. "She thought you were in the kitchen cooking again," I said, laughing. "Is that what it takes to get her out of bed?" Nana asked sarcastically. "No, now don't you go getting any ideas, young lady," I teased. "Did you make some for yourself?" Nana asked. "No, ma'am. I already ate. I hadn't planned on coming by or I would have waited," I explained. "Oh my, this is so delicious, darling. I was saving this for later, but only because I didn't think I wouldn't see you before your graduation. Look over there on my desk and pick up the envelope with your name on it," Nana said as she took another bite into her toast and pointed towards her window. "Nana, I hope that you didn't buy me anything. If anything, I owe you all the times you fed me," I said, slowly moving to her desk. "Just do as you're told, child. You know that you're family, and what Amelia gets, you get. Besides, you do more for me than my own daughter or daughter-in-law," Nana scolded. I picked up the envelope that said, "To Carolina Jackson with all my love." I smiled and started to tear up. "Open it now," Nana yelled. I thought about how I was going to keep a dry face now that I only saw the front of the envelope. I didn't want to look like I was sick in all of my pictures at graduation. The minute that I saw a check, the waterfall started. Nana wrote me a check in the amount of $100,000 and included some documents regarding a stock and bond with my name on it. My chest tightened as I bawled like a baby. "Hush, child. You dry those tears. You have shown what a true gem you are every time you came over here and wiped Amelia's tears. You've seen me at my worst and still jump in to help. When your parents died, I changed the name on one of my stocks years ago. It's matured and now worth well over $1 million. That check is the first installment of the interest that you'll receive every year as long as you don't sell your stock. If you do decide to sell it, you'll gain over $1 million. I did the same for Amelia when she moved in here. I don't think my children should get a dime of that money, since they don't even come over here to see if I'm alive. They call me up when they want something, and that's it. If it wasn't for you two, I don't know what I would have done. I want to show you just how much I appreciate you. Now, I never knew where you lived or how you lived. I always knew that money was tight, and that's why I fed you. Had you said for 1 second where you lived, I would have had you to move in here. I want you to let that apartment go and move in here until you find a nicer place. This is not up for discussion. Amelia let it slip last night that she can't wait for you to move out of that slump you live in, and I scolded her just like I'm doing you. You should not have kept that from me," Nana said, pointing her finger at me. "You were already doing so much for me I didn't want," I tried to explain, but she wasn't having it. "Hush that, child. There's a difference between pride and plain stupid. Here we are in a 5-bedroom house, and you spent most of your time there here studying anyway. After your graduation, you leave that place and burn all of those furnitures too. I don't want no bugs in here. You start fresh and don't thank me, I thank you. Do you know how much money I would have spent trying to do what you girls have done for me for free and expecting nothing in return? Now you listen to me. You continue to do what you're doing, and God had a plan for your life. Nana said, pulling me in for a hug.